يسبح لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض الملك القدوس العزيز الحكيم نتلو عليك آياته والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين وآخرين منهم لما يلحقوا بهم وهو العزيز الحكيم والله ذو الفضل العظيم مثل الذين حملوا التوراة ثم لم يحملوها كمثل الحمار يحمل أسفارا بئس مثل القوم الذين كذبوا بآيات الله والله لا يهدي القوم الظالمين قل يا أيها الذين هادوا إن زعمتم قل يا أيها الذين هادوا إن زعمتم أنكم أولياء لله إن زعمتم أنكم أولياء لله من دون فتمنوا الموت إن كنتم صادقين ولن يتمنونه Ooh. قل ما عند الله خير، قل ما عند الله خير، قل ما عند الله خير من الفقر ومن التجارة، والله خير الرازقين. صدق الله العظيم.
ما شاء الله ما شاء الله. جزاك الله خير شيخ ميكائيل. فتح الله ولك. إن شاء الله. We hope we're going to see you on Sunday night at our citation of the Quran. Thank you for coming last minute. And just, I'm sure, like, for so many people, the Quran is the best dawa.
Alhamdulillah.
جزاك الله خير. جزاك الله خير أخي. بارك الله فيكم.
بارك الله. السلام عليكم.
السلام ورحمة الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله. حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه. نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهديه الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send peace and blessings upon our beloved messenger Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, upon his family, his companions, and those who follow them until the end of time. Brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mashallah, mashallah. We are here for a third virtual khutbah. Of course, this is not the ritual or regular obligatory khutbah that we would be observing if we were in normal circumstances, but subhanallah, we're here to try, inshallah, and do the best we can. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says beautifully in the Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Right, those who say that they believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then they stay upright in their commitment to Allah. And the hadith of Sayyidina Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who the man, he came to him and he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can you tell me about something like I can ask nobody but you? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ. Say that I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then stay upright, like stay consistent in that belief, that claim that you make to have this belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, I know that this is a difficult time for so many people, and I will first of all just want to say, you know, we love each and every one of you for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we need to be bearers of good vibes, you know, and honesty, but at the same time, honesty with empathy, that certainly this is a very difficult time. And it is trying for everyone across the globe, and some for others. And we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as he mentioned, as is mentioned in sound hadith, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that if you were to make your fellow Muslim happy, يعني دخول أو إدخال السرور, to make a fellow Muslim happy would obligate paradise for you. So we want to be, especially in this time, people who carry, alhamdulillah, the responsibility of وَبَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, is bringing happiness, inshallah, to our community, to each and every one of us. Alhamdulillah. I just want to talk about a few things really briefly, because of time and so many things happening. But I really appreciate it. It's a large number of people here, mashallah. May Allah, as He's gathered us now on Yawm al-Jum'ah. One of the reasons it's called Jum'ah is this is Jum'ah al-Sughra. This is the minor gathering that reminds us as we've dressed nice and as we are happy and as we have our lotion on and our faces are shining, we hope that in Jum'ah al-Sughra, Allah will gather us in Jum'ah al-Kubra. Tahta liwa'i Sayyidina Rasulillah. That as Allah has gathered us together here in this minor gathering, we ask Allah to gather us under the flag of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hereafter. فَنَسْأَلُكَ يَا رَبَّنَا كَمَا جَمَعْتَنَا هُنَا أَن تَجْمَعَنَا إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ تَحْتَ لِوَائِهِ سَيِّدِنَا رَسُولِ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is something that's very important, that we need to avoid messages of people within the community that continue to debase us and tell us how bad we are. But subhanAllah, look, it's not even a fard. And more than here on Facebook Live and even on Zoom, we have almost 2,000 people right now listening to this virtual khutbah. What does that tell you? That tells you that there is khair in the hearts of the ummah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As the Prophet said, al khayru fi ummati hatta taqum as-sa'ah. There will always be good in the community sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So alhamdulillah, you know, we should hear messages of responsibility, but we should not hear messages that lead to despair and losing hope in the barakah of the ummah, marhuma wa mahfuza. The Prophet ﷺ, he made dua for this ummah that it will be protected and that this dua will be the recipients of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until the end of time, subhanallah. What I wanted to say is that is rooted largely in the fact that we believe this dunya is only a temporary means of transportation to the hereafter. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says very beautifully in the Quran, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created death and life. Ibn Abbas, he said, death is the dunya and life is the hereafter. So mashallah, we live for the hereafter. We don't die to live for dunya. That being said, I just wanted to share a few thoughts from one of our great luminaries, of the great luminaries of Islam, and that is Imam Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, radiallahu anhu, who died 852 Hijri. He is known as Khulasat al-Hufaz wa Amir al-Mu'mineen fil Hadith. He is considered one of the greatest scholars of Hadith in the later period. And Imam Ibn Hajar, he lived in the 9th century in Egypt, in Misr. He's buried in the Mantiqat al-Imam al-Shafi'i, in the area of Sayyidina Imam al-Shafi'i. And Imam Ibn Hajar was someone who, he faced a lot of difficulties throughout his life. He was born and he lost his mother and father, subhanAllah. He was raised by his sister. And then he, alhamdulillah, as he, of course, got married and settled his life as a great scholar and began to, you know, grow and learn as an alim, he had 5 daughters, mashallah. Can you imagine the blessing in the Prophet? Some said, whoever has 2 daughters and those daughters maintain, you know, a commitment to faith and live a life of purpose, they will hijab lahu min an-nar, aw sitra lahu min an-nar. They will be a means of protecting this person from hellfire, subhanallah. And subhanAllah, he began in 815, excuse me, he was asked by some of his students, because the bubonic plague had hit Egypt and it had assailed the society of Egypt and people were dying in large numbers. Great scholars like Imam al-Dhahabi, you know, he died of the bubonic plague. And this is something which isn't new to our history, as I'll talk about in a second. So Imam Sayyidina Ibn Hajar, he began in 1813, 1814 to collect a hadith that talked about al-wiba wa tawan, you know, plagues and things like we're experiencing now. And that's something very important. I recently heard someone say to me, you know, why doesn't the religion say anything about this? But it's not that we should expect the religion to speak to us. Are we speaking to the religion? We shouldn't expect the religion to show up at our front doors like, you know, a Papa John's pizza that we deliver. But that's why Sayyidina Umar, when he saw in his dream that he was taking milk from a cow, the Prophet said, this is ilm. this is ilm, this is knowledge, because you have to work in those days to get the milk. You have to work. So let me just give you an example. In the Quran itself, there is a verse that talks about, mashallah, a plague. Have you seen those people whom hadhar al-maut? إِذْ قَالَ لَهُمَ اللَّهُ مُوتُ ثُمَّ أَحْيَاهُمْ. Most ulama said this verse is talking about a plague in Surah Al-Baqarah. And then if you look at Kutub al-Sitta, the six books of hadith, right? It's okay if people want to comment. It's okay. Let them comment, inshallah. We want people to feel comfortable, right? This is not like a Jumu'ah. So may Allah bless you for that adab. But also, let's give people, as Sayyidina Hassan al-Basri said, يَنِي أَلَّا النَّاسْ لَابُدْ مِنَ التَّنَفُسِ. You know, let people express themselves, inshallah, and let them, you know, we need to let people have a moment of, you know, letting themselves loose. And we hope Allah will bless each and every one of you, mashallah. But if you look at the six books of hadith, Kutub al-Sitta, you find, for example, in Bukhari, the chapter, مَا يُذْكَرُ فِي الطَّعُونَ, which mentioned regarding plagues and things like this. You find in the Sahih of Imam Muslim a chapter on plagues and difficulties. You find in the Sunan of Abi Dawud that the person who dies, man mata bit-ta'un, who dies because of a plague, dies as a shaheed. You find in the text of Sayyidina Imam al-Tirmidhi, so we're going to all the six books of hadith, the chapter on kirahat firaru min al-ta'un, that is dislike to flee from a plague. We're going to talk about that perhaps in a special course that we're going to unpack for you guys. Imam Malik in Kitab al-Jami' in the Muwatta, he has a chapter on plagues and viruses, and not viruses, but things like this, these kind of sicknesses, muntashara. So in the six books of authentic hadith, you'll find in all of them, except Ibn Majah and Nasa'i, so four of the six and the Muwatta, you find a chapter on plagues and the etiquettes and adab of plagues and the fada'il of plagues. So the point I'm trying to make is that maybe it's not our religion that's not speaking to us. Maybe we're not engaging and listening to our religion. So Imam Ibn Hajar, he begins in 1813 to collect all of these ahadith. And then subhanAllah, in 1819, two of his daughters die. Zainul Khatun and Sayyida Aliya, his daughter. And suddenly he stops writing. They died of the bubonic plague. So he lost his mother and father. I don't know why he lost his mother and father. That needs research. And then in 819, after Hijri, he loses his two daughters. So the writing stops. And he mentions this writing in other works, like I was writing something on the fada, the fawaid of a ta'un, the virtues of a plague. Look at the Muslim, subhanAllah, how the psyche of the Muslim is even to see the silver lining in a plague, man. Like one brother, this is very strange, but it's so powerful. He contacted me and he said, mashallah, since this plague started, I haven't drank alcohol because Allah separated me from my sin. And I said, ya Allah, I never thought about it this way. Like, we're only thinking about like what we lost as far as like what's good, you know? But did we think that perhaps also this is an opportunity, yub'iduna Rabbuna subhanahu wa ta'ala an al-ma'asi, that Allah has also separated us from sin. So he said, make dua for me that the evil that Allah has separated me from in this time, I will maintain it, inshallah, when this moves on. Like, man, this is someone who drinks. Like, this is not the Muslim who's like, you know, the most righteous, pious guy. I know him, he's a friend of mine. But the ability to see good in the storm, as the Arab poet says, don't be sad by the big clouds and the rain, because the only thing they hide is the beaming sun. Right? Don't get upset with the storm, because the storm only masks a bright sun. That's the attitude of a Muslim. A chaplain reached out to me from a local hospital, and she asked me a question that shows you how amazing our community is. Allahu Akbar. And we are amazing because Allah is amazing and the Prophet is amazing. Allahu Akbar. And she said to me, do Muslims fake it? I said, fake what? She said, they accept death with such ease. They accept bad news with such complacency. And I said to her, that's because of Allah. وَأَنَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ الْمُنْتَهَىٰ. Because Allah is the ending. So Sayyiduna Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentions after 819 this book he was writing called Badhlul Ma'un في فوائد الطاعون. The struggle of those who are helped in finding the silver linings and the blessings in plagues. Like, subhanAllah, that's the name of the book, man. And suddenly it stops being written at the moment that his two daughters die. Some ulama, look how people have good suspicions of people, mashallah. They said perhaps he stopped writing it because he did not want to make this an episode of personal therapy, therefore maybe affecting his ikhlas. Like, he wrote the book for Allah, not for personal therapy. So he stopped until he overcame his sadness at losing his two daughters, which is very normal, until he could be centered and make it for Allah. Ya Allah, what a person. Then in 833, he loses his oldest daughter, subhanAllah. His oldest daughter, Fatima. He loses his old, so imagine, this is a great scholar, a great imam, one of the great arif of Allah, and subhanAllah, almost, 13, 14 years later, he loses another daughter to the bubonic plague. And it's then that he begins to finish the work. And he publishes this work. Inshallah, I plan to do a weekend workshop with you guys on this entire book. Inshallah, because it's, you can feel his heart in the book, man. You know, you can feel Ibn Hajar, that his pain is in the book. Subhanallah. But there is a section I think that's very important. I'm just going to mention it in brevity because I have a class of some 13 to 15-year-olds that are waiting on me. Allahu Akbar. Can you imagine in our 13 to 15-year-old class, we had more than 1,000 kids. And they're so amazing, memorizing the Quran, you know, being focused, asking how they can help their parents. You know, they're not caught up, man. So the first thing is that Imam Ibn Hajar, he mentions some of the virtues of going through something like this. And he said the first is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wakes us up, that we are resuscitated. The second is that we have a greater focus on good. Like, mashallah, I see all those love comments for each other. Allah bless you. May Allah make us al-muhibbin fillah. That the second is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in these moments, we attain a higher focus. أَكْثِرُ ذِكْرَ هَذِمَ لِذَاتِ يَعْنِي الْمَوْتِ. The third is that this is an opportunity to forgive and ask for forgiveness. To forgive and ask for forgiveness. And the fourth, he said, is to prepare for death. حُسْنُ الْخَاتِمَةِ. In his text, he has a very, very beautiful statement. A chapter, excuse me, where he mentions what are the etiquettes of people, right? What are the etiquettes of people who are going through something like this? And he mentions specifically the people who are sick. So he has a chapter, mashallah, dedicated to people, because I worry sometimes in these discussions, we speak only to the people who are not sick, right? But there are a number of Muslims reaching out to us who are saying that they have this virus. They're asking us to make dua for them. We have a number of muhibbin in New York City, where I'm from now, who have lost family members. We ask Allah to accept them as shuhada. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive them and raise them and to bring, you know, security to their family. Our friend, our brother, Sheikh Fayaz at the NYU, his mother-in-law just this week passed away, rahimahullah. So the Sheikh, he mentions a number of adab. And before we do that, I think there's three things he says you should think about when engaging this thing. Number one is a dua. Number one is dua wal ad'iyah wal adhkar. Is to be in a state of dhikr and dua. Number two is to have at your ready the ability, and I'm thinking now in Arabic, so forgive me, to utilize all of the medical resources you have around you. To utilize all of the medical resources that you have around you. Number three is not to use qadr as an excuse. You know? But to constantly struggle for what's right. As Sayyidina Umar said, we leave the qada to the qada. The last part of this brief khutbah, inshallah, is I just want to touch on a few etiquettes, and I'm going to expound on these in the future. You have to forgive me, it's just a lot going on, subhanAllah. And make dua for us. And anyone interested in helping out, you can email me at sw@suhaibweb.com. Like literally, we have 3 or 4 people trying to run really all of the services that we have provided for you. Absolutely, absolutely applies to mental illness. So he says, here are the ذكر آداب المتعلقة بمن أصابه الطاعون أو غيره أو غيره من الأسقام. And he said, you know, these are things that if you are ill, whether in a plague or otherwise, you should think about these etiquettes. Or if you're sick, and you know, in any sickness, and I can expand that, I can say, I may not be physically sick, but we all have some sickness in our hearts. So he says, الأول سؤال الله تعالى العافية والاستعاذة من السقم. The first thing he said is you should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for afiyah, which means health inwardly and outwardly and cognitively. And we know that the Sayyidina Rasulullah said, مَا سُئِلَ اللَّهُ شَيْءٍ أَحَبُّ إِلَيْهِ مِنَ الْعَافِيَةِ. The Prophet said that Allah was never asked by anything which he loves more than someone asking for afiyah. Someone asking for, you know, health, mentally, spiritually, and physically. The second adab, he said, "As-sabru ala qada'i Allahi ta'ala ar-ridha bima yuqaddiruhu." The second is you should find happiness and content with whatever Allah has decreed. It's so hard, subhanAllah. And we should help each other. That's why you have some of the Salaf, at the time of their death, they would ask their family members, mention Allah's mercy. Mention Allah's blessings upon me so that now as I'm facing death, I find patience and happiness with Allah. You know, Sayyidina Musa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, Inna rida'i, you know, my happiness bi rida'ik bi qada'i. My happiness with you is with your happiness in me. And sometimes the reason that we're not able to be happy is we restrict our life to the dunya. If we only live for the dunya, we'll never be happy with Allah. Wala sawfa yu'tika rabbuka fatarda. But if I live for the hereafter and the promise of Allah, then I'm pleased with whatever happens. That's why, subhanAllah, there were some Sahaba who, they were faced with fitna, they were faced with hardship, and they said, Ya ta'un khudni, O plague, take my life. Because they felt that the fitna they were facing in this world may threaten the hereafter, and they would rather die and live for the hereafter. SubhanAllah. You know, I feel like, what a level of iman. Wal fitna tu ashaddu min al qatil. So the second is to be pleased with the qada of Allah and the rida of Allah. And we should always, Chicago kid, assume we are happy with Allah and Allah is happy with us. As Allah says, in ana 'inda dhanni 'abdi bi, I am with you as you think I am with you. As Imam Al-Muhasibi, he said, إِذَا أَحْبَبْتَ أَن تَعْرِفَ مَنْزِلَتَكَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ فَاعْرِفْ مَنْزِلَتَهُ عِنْدَكَ. If you want to know where you stand with God, ask yourself where God stands with you. But we should not fall into despair. The Prophet ﷺ said, لَا يَمُوتُنَّ none of you should die, except, and this is the third etiquette he mentions, you assume good of Allah. You assume khayr of Allah. So may Allah strengthen us. It's not easy. That's why Jahid, the great poet, he said, if you doubt Allah's plan for you, then think about Musa, who went to get fire and came back with the fire of prophethood. He went for fire, but came back with the fire of prophethood. So the world, we should not restrict the world to our limited physical measurements, but we should have husnul dhan billah, a good suspicion with Allah. And that's the third etiquette he mentions. And he says, At-targhib fi husni dhan billah. And we should encourage people to have this good assumption of Allah, because pain and suffering and sickness and health, This is just part of the Uber trip to the hereafter. This is not all there is. This is just this moment. And we believe, inshallah, when our relatives are dying of illnesses like this, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this pain and suffering they experience is a way for every sin of theirs to be removed. So then they meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and all their sins are forgiven. So rahmatan min Allah. Subhanallah. And the last, inshallah, because of time. And I'm going to actually make a special set of recordings for this for our healthcare providers, like our brother Saqib in New York City. One of our uncles, Basharat Ari, he died. Subhanallah. His daughter reached out to me, his blessed family. He was one of the first people to serve people that had this virus. And then he himself, as an elderly man, had this virus and he passed away. May Allah accept him as a shaheed. You know what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to you who are out there as healthcare providers? You are truly the heroes of the world today. He said, nobody seeks to heal, like as a doctor or a nurse, right? Someone who's ill, except as long, and this hadith is sahih, as long as they stand and serve those people, they are under the rahmah of Allah, a special mercy. And when they sit, you know, like when they stop, right? The malaika envelop them in rahmah. Another narration said that as long as they are in the service of the sick, they are in the highest level of Jannah. So the last thing that the Imam, he mentions, rahimahullah, is that we should, and of course we are not professionally trained, but some of us, we can serve people in our homes. We can serve some of the sick maybe in our houses, right, who don't have this illness. But we should all be sending special messages to Muslim healthcare providers in our community that they are our heroes, that we are making dua for them, and that we promise to take care of their families. If anything, God forbid, happens to them, there should be funds created to support these people's family if God forbid anything happens to them. Man ghazza ghaziyan fi sabilillahi faqad ghazza. The Prophet said, whoever arms a soldier to fight is the soldier. So we can also say, qiyasan, whoever helps a medical provider, they are as though they are also a medical provider, mashallah, to the people. So the fourth etiquette that Sayyidina Imam Ibn Hajar, he mentions, is the virtues, and there is at least 14 hadith, the virtues of being a nurse. And in fiqh, you know, in the Maliki Madhab, the excuses for not being clean are given to nurses and doctors because the important role they play. Did you know that nurses and doctors are allowed to join prayers in fiqh because of the important role they play? Allahu Akbar. So it's also important for us to stay home and abide by what these medical professionals are asking us. So as we finish, inshallah, and I love all of you and I ask Allah to bless you, and mashallah, it's a blessing that we are together, and I ask every one of you to make dua, because inshallah, someone here in this group, their dua will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we hope, inshallah. So the first etiquette that he mentioned, alhamdulillah, was to ask Allah for afiyah. The second etiquette that he talked about is to be patient with the qada of Allah and be pleased with Allah. The third is that to have a good suspicion and assumption of Allah. And the fourth is the virtues of being on the front lines. Allahu Akbar, what a deen, man. And then I mentioned that out of the six books of hadith, four of them actually have entire chapters, and this includes the Muwatta, which is the seventh book, that talk about these things. So we shouldn't ask what our religion has done for us. We should ask what we have done for our religion. Inshallah, tonight we will continue with our Quran reading at 10 o'clock, inshallah, Surah An'am, Eastern Time. And then we'll make community dua. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bi asma'ihi kulliha wa sifati al-ula. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by all his names and attributes to bless every single one of you. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect our families and give us al-afiyah. We ask Allah to protect our brothers and sisters in Gaza, and our brothers and sisters in Kashmir, and the Rohingya, the forgotten people. those people who, Allahu Akbar, I saw a few people from New York, they were actually organizing to send face masks, even though they're in New York, send face masks to Palestine. Ask Allah to protect the poor. Ask Allah to protect those people who've lost their jobs, people who have been financially impacted by this very difficult virus. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless all of the frontline workers who are out there really struggling, you know, and tired and exhausted and underserved. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us, inshallah, with afiyah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us, inshallah, in khair. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Inshallah, we'll post this khutbah on YouTube later today, and we'll see all of you tonight. Much love and respect, and keep me and my family in your du'as. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Jazakallah khair.
Bye. Salams. MashaAllah, Habibti. Aini, aini, anti.
Does it say something?
JazakAllah khair, Sheikh Suhaib.